Yeah, we thank the Lord for how he has been speaking expressly to us for the past 4 to 3 weeks, and of course in times past. And we're just going to continue on the meditation from some weeks back, and we'll just move into it because of time. We'll be rounding up today, and we started some time back by looking at Mark chapter 4 verse 35, and we drew a parallel from stories of transition in the scriptures by reason of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're able to draw certain truths from each story, and we were able to make some conclusions. The Bible says, when the evening time was come, he said unto them, let us go over to the other side. And we said there are three components of transition. Sorry, can everyone hear me?
Loud and clear.
Awesome. Loud and clear. So we said there are three components of transition, three important components. We said one is the leading of the Lord. We said transition is purposeful. And we also said that transition is in due time. Today we're going to be speaking about the time factor. And we're going to be taking a very pragmatic approach. We're not just going to speak about it, you know, with regards to the body in general, that is worldwide. No, we're going to make it very practical and bring it down to us and see what the Lord is saying to us, so that we can be instructed, so that we can act rightly and move in the right order. I would like us to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I'll read verse 6 and we can read verse 7 together. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Verse 7, let's read together. I want to go. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power or authority. It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Lord has put in his own power. Today I will be speaking more with regards to time, and if you could give a subtitle. I know we started some while back, and our title was Counsel for the Transition. Counsel for the Transition. If you could give a subtitle to this meditation, it would be Engaging the Seasons. Engaging the Seasons. Engaging the Season. One important truth about our walk with God is that he is a planner. He works with time. God has a plan. He has, if you can say, a calendar. The Bible speaks of transition from the law to grace. You see certain time-related operations that are captured in scriptures. And as it relates to the church, as it relates to mankind, as it relates to individuals, there is a time factor concerning the purposes of God. There is a time for everything, the Bible says, and there is a season for every purpose under the sun. Why? Because even though Jesus dwells, even though the Father dwells, rather, in eternity past, and his purposes are eternal, in the earth realm, which is subject to man, we have a realm that is dependent on time. So he moves with time, and he has a calendar. So if we could ask, what is a season, really? What is a season? a season in a very short and precise way is a time frame. It's basically a period of a particular emphasis or operation. It's marked by a particular emphasis or operation. A season is marked by a particular emphasis or operation. So we know there are many types of seasons. It's not just weather related. Where I stayed in Nigeria, Port Harcourt, there is a particular kind of fruit you can only get in this season. There is a particular kind of pear. You can get avocado every time of the year, but in maybe April, May, thereabout, I may be wrong, there is a kind of pear that you eat with corn and coconut. It's specific to that particular season. There are many other seasons. Of course, winter and summer, spring and autumn. But God has placed these things to give us an idea of how He moves, of how He moves with man. They are a pointer to a big picture. Just the way a season is just a small part of a year. The season does not categorize the full calendar. It is just a part. Likewise, God has His purposes placed into particular sections of time, and He calls it seasons. There is something called spiritual seasons. And like I said, we're going to make it very individual. I'm not going to speak from a dimension of just the body, but something every man can relate to. God deals with us in seasons. God deals with us in season. We said some time ago that even though Jesus was manifested to take away or to deal with the works of the of Satan, at a certain point in time, what he needed to do was to focus on the word, was to fetch firewood, was to turn water to wine. And we said, supposing he just came out one day and said, I'm tired. I want to. We came here to die. Let's take care of that. It would have not worked that way. It tells us that God is a God of process. He is a God of time. And one thing we must see, another important thing we must understand, is that He engages us in seasons. He engages us. God engages us in seasons. In our first session, we spoke about the stirrings of the waters within. He engages us. Seasons come with unique assignments. Seasons come with unique instructions. Seasons come with promises. Seasons come with directions. I'm trying to lay a foundation of the importance of seasons. And one burden that has been on my heart as it pertains to my brethren, and of course, everyone included, myself included, that is the discussion of purpose and the operation of purpose. Like we said some while back, I believe that is something the Lord is pointing His finger to, both corporately and on an individual level. As much as there is a definition of what you are designed for, a seasonal engagement of what is needful at that point in time is very important. I like to think of the life cycle of the butterfly. I don't know how many people have read on stuff like that. Of course, if you did basic biology, you would know that this is just normal information out there. And one thing I love about this particular analogy is that at every phase, something is happening with a butterfly. So you have the egg, you have the pupa, you have the larva rather, you have the pupa, and then you have the full-grown butterfly. But before it gets to the butterfly level, for which it was designed and created for, there are other things that need to happen in those, if you can say, seasons or phases of development. There are other things. There are things that have to happen. So you see, in the larva stage, it begins to eat the egg. It's not a season of inactivity. Even though from outside, it may look like nothing is happening. The organism breaks out of the eggshell and eats the eggshell for growth and expansion, increase in capacity. And as it begins to eat the leaves hereabouts, what happens? It grows, increases. And the next, as it engages that over time, the next season comes and that organism is prepared to advance in that season. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hello.
Hallelujah.
So someone is texting me that I'm cracking. Can everybody hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. So three important things. We'll just round up today and we'll go with the same tempo which we have been going for for the past 3 weeks. There are three important things you must know concerning seasons. Like we said, seasons have an emphasis. There's an emphasis on seasons. Each season has an emphasis. Every season. And there are seasons in the operation of the church. There are seasons in the operations of your life. There are seasons. Every season has an emphasis. As the earth remains, seed and harvest. So there is a time for seed. There is a time for harvest. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. There is an emphasis for every season. The second thing is that every season is preparatory. Every season is preparatory. It is preparatory in nature. In other words, every season prepares you for the next phase. Every season prepares you for the next phase. So there is the seed time because of harvest time. There is the winter because of heat. There is the night because of day. So every season is preparatory. Every season is preparatory. And the last thing, the third thing, is that there is an expected end product for every season. There is an expected end product for every season. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So these factors are very important. These factors are very important. I believe, like we said, we are in a very unique season. A very, very unique season. And working, if there's any time you need to be very intentional with your walk with God as a believer, it's very much in these times. So
right.
What the Lord does is that He brings clarity. He gives definition of operation. That's why the discussion of purpose comes into view. Every child of God, as a result of the rebirth, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 that He has chosen us from the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame in Him. So there was intention behind your birth. And when something is chosen and holy, when something is separated unto God, there is a service dimension to that thing. So you are separated for purpose. There is a service dimension to your call. It's not just about being a believer. There is a purpose attached to
it. That's right.
There is a purpose. There is a purpose.
That's right.
I love the way the Lord described it. He says it's the Father's business. And everybody has a unique role to play. Everybody has a set, an allocation of responsibility. And as we grow and increase over time, no season is dormant. There is something to be doing in every season. Even though, for example, Jesus, like we said earlier, was manifested to destroy the works of Satan, at a certain point in it, he was doing something, and it was preparatory. It was preparatory. It was preparatory. It was not wasted. And it was all with the big picture of purpose in view. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So,
hallelujah.
We'll dive into a verse of scripture. In preparing for this, there were many things that are coming to heart. But to keep things simple and in a good time frame, I chose to stick with a guy I love a lot and a popular story in the scriptures, which is David. Let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel. And besides, the points that were outlined earlier will be better understood as we go on, because I didn't give any scriptural basis for them. So 1 Samuel 17. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel 17 from verse 34. Before I read or start reading, for every unique individual or standout individual you see in scriptures, from Paul, I mean Jesus being the top and the prototype and the focus of all, but with regards to process, you see some individuals who had to go through certain things. You see Moses in the wilderness, serving Jethro. You see David as a shepherd's boy whose unique purpose was to rule over Israel. The Lord at his own time, even though it was not properly clearly outlined in the New Testament, we see from the evidences in scriptures, especially in the book of Luke, that there was a time where he was studying and he was asking questions. There was a time where he was doing this and doing that, and it was preparatory. Likewise, Paul, it says that when it pleased the Lord, who called me that he might reveal himself in me, that I may preach him unto the Gentiles, I took no thoughts with flesh and blood, but separated myself to the desert of Arabia. So we see something, a factor of process and preparation, seasonal operations with regards to the big picture of purpose, seasonal engagements with regards to the big picture of purpose. And I want to narrow things down to this guy called David. I'll read verse 34 and just follow me closely. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of his mouth. Thy servant kept the lions or his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of his flock. Out of the flock, rather. As we said earlier, one thing with each season is that there are specific things that the Lord turns our eyes to. It's very easy to be distracted. It's very easy to lose focus. It's very easy to be in oblivion of what you need to be doing. But I like what he said concerning this shepherd boy here. He says that he kept his father's sheep. This was someone who was by divine ordination designed to rule at a certain point, to rule over the house of Israel. And one thing the Lord began to speak to me regarding the house is the importance of seasonal assignments and the engagements of giftings. The importance of seasonal assignments and the engagement of giftings. The importance of seasonal assignments and the engagements of seasons. There is a scripture I'm trying to recall. I think that's in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. It says that stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the laying of the presbytery. Right? And one thing, first and foremost, actually, we must recognize concerning each household is the uniqueness of every man in Christ. Like I said, every man has an allocation. Every man has something he ought to be doing. And he's not doing it by his own strength. He's doing it by reason of divine enablement. He's doing it by reason of divine enablement. And because he's in his father's business, there is an instruction, there is an emphasis as it relates to season, what you need to be doing at each time. Again, I keep on making reference to Jesus, that at a certain time, he needed to be doing the basic things and not necessarily engaging in the salvation of man. But what we must know is that this was preparatory. The same thing was said for Moses, actually, if you think about it. It says that Moses was in the wilderness and he kept Jethro's flock. He kept Jethro's flock. This was someone who was going to lead the children of Israel or shepherd the symbolic sheep of the Lord later on. But he did a seemingly insignificant thing at that point in time. And the Lord began to move me in certain areas which have to do with a stirring up of what is inside of you. The corona season may be on, but as we have seen, the provisions of the internet and things like that do not give maximum expression and allow us to optimize our full capacities. But the provision of the internet and things like that allow us to still engage in certain things we can do on a normal day. And one thing that's really on my heart is the engagement of purpose. Seasonal assignment. David kept his father's flock. That was what he needed to be doing at that time. That was what he needed to be doing at that time. And this is very important. Seasonal engagement of your assignments. No matter how significant it may look. For some, it's not necessarily clear. But sometimes you just have to look at where the Lord has placed you and what is drawing your attention. And all of these are not necessarily church related, Sunday related. Like we said sometime, purpose is basically the basis, the reason for which you were born. It's the thing that gives you fulfillment. It says, my meat is to do the will of him that has sent me. My meat is to do the will of him that has sent me. And what the Lord does, again, is that he engages us per season. He engages us. You may not be David, but one question we should all be asking ourselves in this year is, what has the Lord given me to keep? What has he given me to keep? What is in my hands? What am I giving a responsibility for in this season? Because every season is transitory. And if we're talking about transition into the next, we must be talking about faithfulness in the now. Gifts and talents, multiple graces, burdens to write, burdens to do unique things, from business related things, you name it, burdens to function in the house. But there are things that have been given to you to keep, seemingly insignificant at this point in time. David kept his father's sheep. He understood responsibility. The Bible says that it is expected in stewardship that a man be found faithful. I believe strongly, very, very strongly this year. I believe strongly because there is so much that is going to be coming in the future times. There is so much. Like it was said in the first meditation, one thing that is going to be prominent is an engagement, both from the Lord and from us to him. He first engages us with instructions and assignments, and we engage him with our devotion. We engage him with our consecration. We engage him with our faithfulness. So things will be clear. Burdens are already coming. In fact, as I'm speaking right now, there are burdens in people's hearts. I'm not talking about just reckless things. There are things that are being placed in your heart, whether with regards to the body or just things in general. And it's a seasonal assignment. It's a seasonal assignment. It's a seasonal assignment. I want to pass that across. It's a seasonal thing that you must engage for now. Let's move on. I'll read from verse 35. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this circumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, the Lord and the Lord be with thee. And so armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And I want us to look very closely at verse 39 and 40. And David girded his sword upon his armor and assayed to go, for he had not proved it. He had not proved it. Mark that word. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Verse 40. And he took his staff by his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I want us to see something very closely in verse 40 and 39 and 40, actually. David was used to something as he pertained to anything that had to do with defense or service. Not necessarily service, but defense and attack, actually, in this point, in this regard. They gave him an armor. It makes sense for him to go facing a war or battle juggernaut, well equipped with the things of war, with the things that naturally would give an advantage. But David had only been trained amongst sheep. And when it came to defense, he had just a few things he knew how to proficiently use by reason of exercise. He knew how to use the stone. He knew how to use the sling. And he knew how to use the rod. By reason of exercise, he had become proficient in this thing. But in verse 39, look very closely. When he was offered the armor for warfare, he said something that is very crucial, and I want us to mark. He says, for he has not proved it. The word there is tested. He has not exercised it. He was going to be transiting into a time of open appreciation of Israel, where Israel will come to know a shepherd boy who had killed a huge Philistine Goliath or a giant. And it was, you would think it's normal for him to basically go with what everybody was using. But he said, I have not tested it. I have not used it. This is not what I am used to. We are speaking about this with regards to seasonal engagement, not necessarily warfare now. Of course, this can be tied to many things, principle-wise. Seasonal engagement. He started and he was faithful. He was faithful with his shepherdic assignment in that season. And the skill for the next season was dependent on his faithfulness and his exercise. That's the burden. Exercise. Engagement of what he already had. I have not tested them. Again, what is in your hand? One of the worst feelings, there are many students in the house, and there are many people who relate to this. One of the worst feelings is having to go into an exam and you see a question and you know that you had the opportunity to prepare for this question. You had the tools. In fact, when you were preparing, you saw that thing. Something nudged you and said, prepare. Spend some time on this. Practice on this particular question. So exercise on that particular question. One of the most discouraging things and heartbreaking things is for you to go into an exam and see a question that you did not prepare for. And in our walk with God, there is something called process. You don't pass an exam in the hall. They say there's a common statement that no battle is won on the field or on the war field. It's a process, and the process is arguably more important than the end product because it increases your capacity. As we engage the products and the emphasis, the seasonal emphasis, as per that time, what happens is that there is a preparation for the next. I have not tested it. I don't know how to use this one. But what I know how to use, what I am proficient in by reason of use, is the sling and the stone. I'm moving more exhortationally today. I believe there is something. There is something the Lord wants to stir up in us this season. I believe so strongly. I believe so. Not because we are a dormant house. Of course not. There is the factor of lack of clarity. And there is also the factor of fear. Or the feeling of insignificance. In fact, one of the reasons Paul said to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy that the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind, was because of things like this. Why? He says in the previous verse that stir up the gift that is in you by reason of the laying on of the hands. And if you go down, you hear things like, don't let any man despise your youth. One prayer that was brought up last year was the prayer of boldness. One of the most incapacitating things as it relates to purpose and the expressions of giftings is that factor called fear. It's a paralytic agent in the achievement of purpose. What is in your hands? That's the most important thing. And how are you engaging it? Because every season has its emphasis. For David at this point, what he just needed to do at this point was to raise sheep. But it seemed so insignificant. In fact, you realize that it was the same rod that Moses used as a shepherd, and he cast it down and it turned into a serpent that he used throughout his ministry to deliver the people of Israel. There is something in your hand that you are meant to engage in this season. There is something because there is need for exercise and increase in capacity. The new season demands that. You can tie that to any sphere of life, whether ministerially, whether it be character-wise, life-related issues, the new season, the times ahead demand an increase in capacity. And process usually is the catalyst for that. Process. There is a burden in my heart for the case of exercise. For some, it's not just the lack of clarity. It is boldness to exercise. And remember, I said it's not just things regarding the house. It doesn't have to be a Sunday, but the Lord is placing diverse projects, ideas. Of course, you make sure these are not just soulish engagements and desires and thoughts, ideas of the flesh. No, by reason of the weakness of the spirit, and sometimes the Lord bearing witness through other people, you are convinced and persuaded that this is what I ought to be doing. But the emphasis is engagement. Emphasis is engagement, exercise. We have to be deliberate. We have to be deliberate. The season calls for engagement. Engagement. Investing and engaging what is already there. So you feed and you also engage what is in your hand. You exercise it. You exercise it. You exercise it. You exercise it. There are giftings. Giftings that need to be exercised, not because they are not there, but the expression is dependent on exercise. In fact, even in the physical, your muscles, I may not be the greatest example of that, your muscles do not grow unless you are both feeding and exercising yourself. You exercise yourself, you lift heavier weights. The Lord gives you a task. For example, maybe you're interceding. You just find yourself having the burden to pray. You know that this thing is on my heart. The Lord places people on your heart to pray. In fact, He places, before you know, He starts to place communities in your heart. And as you are praying, you are seeing evident results. In that same place, you are praying and you are energizing and exercising yourself, you find out that when you pray a little bit, in the midst of prayers, your eyes open. You have exercised something. Capacity has increased. You were not doing that before. You were not experiencing that before. Now you are experiencing that not because something new was added, but because of exercise, engagement. There is a call to capacity building. Increase in capacity for the times ahead. Increase, increase, increase. And it comes both by engagement, by devotion, and by investment. Deliberate investment. Deliberate investment. What do you have in your hands? That's a question we should all have or think on today. Again, it may not be church related or it may not be Sunday related. It's something the Lord is saying, because the season has an emphasis, and as you engage that, something is being worked out. That process is very important. Growth is not part of the finished work of Christ. Someone may say, I'm complete in Him. I don't need to. There's nothing that needs to be done. You are deceiving yourself. Growth is dependent on what, any kind of advancement. Growth is dependent on your ability to engage God, who is ever available, as a result of what He has already done. So, you engage Him. He gives you a gift and you engage Him. You put that thing to use and you invest in it. You invest in it. You invest in it. Why? Because it is purposeful. Man was not created for himself. He was created for God. The Bible says that He has created all things for His pleasure. All things are created for His pleasure. And in the discussion of purpose, seasonal engagement is important. Wow, 44 minutes. Seasonal engagement is very important. If someone, I know there are not many people off mute, can someone say seasonal engagement?
Seasonal engagement.
Can someone say it again? Seasonal engagement.
Seasonal engagement
is profitable for increase in capacity.
It's
profitable for increase in capacity. That's my burden. It's a strong burden on my heart. Engagement as per season. And I want to show you something in that scripture. how that your experiences and dealings in a particular season add so much value to your life long term. Again, we are not speaking and saying the body, a people. If you notice, I'm bringing it down to the individual. I'm saying you. It's not a self message. It's as a result of your purpose in Christ. As much as we benefit from the redemptive work of Christ, we believe and we benefit from the fact that he is alive. There is, of course, the factor of who you are as a result of him, wonderful. The factor of his character. The factor of his ability. Beautiful, beautiful knowledge. There's also an important dimension of your purpose in him, because he has a purpose. There is a mandate on earth. And I want us to see something in verse 36. Actually, if we can read this together, that would be awesome. Verse 36. I have 1 hour planned in my heart. Hopefully, we can hit that mark. Verse 36. It says, let's read it. One to go. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing as he has defiled the armies of the living God. Look at this very closely. He says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be what? As one of them. Not two of them. It shall be as one of them. It's not just the combined experience. It's the value of each dealing and each assignment. In each assignment, there are experiences you are exposed to. There are dealings. There are divine instructions. Encounters that make for increased value and wisdom in your life. Not just for the now, but as a preparation for transition. Not because what you are going to meet is necessarily greater, but the error, and usually the cause of casualty, is lack of subjectness to preparation, to process. Because God never permits or put you in a place where you just move into another phase without preparing you in some way. Most of the things we are doing today are not necessarily, of course, we are increasing as a body. That's very true. We are growing as a body. We are both in grace, growth in knowledge. We are growing. There's so much growth in this house. We can all testify to that. But long term. Someone says is that life is a marathon with many, many laps. It's not a sprint. So we must have, in some sense, a long term vision. When you see certain things today and you are tempted to ask God why, good or bad, you should be able to see things from a larger perspective. And these dealings add unique value to your life. These dealings add unique value to your life. It adds wisdom and it increases your capacity. Remember, it shall be as one of them. The Goliath, the mighty Goliath, will not be as both the bear and the lion. It gives you an idea of the value of subjecting yourself to what God has placed in your hand and the experiences that come with it. It gives you an idea. Not both of them, but one of them. This mighty Goliath shall be as one. Purpose and seasonal engagement. No season is dormant, and it is preparatory. There is an emphasis for a reason. there is an emphasis. There is an emphasis. There is an emphasis for a reason. There is, God keeps on telling you to do it, a particular thing. Let's even bring it to the character dimension. The Lord keeps on pointing your hand to something that, come, watch this thing. Someone says, God will help us. Someone says, I am perfect in Christ. There is nothing that needs to change. I am complete. I haven't used that same scripture again. That there is nothing. I have news for you. That if you are walking, if you're truly walking with a living Jesus, it's not every day you will hear you are looking beautiful today. In quote, I mean, you won't necessarily hear that. But I mean, you won't always hear good things per se. Some days it's corrective. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that no father, no good father will not chastise his child. And this chastisement they work something in you. The Bible calls it fruits, righteous fruits of holiness. Righteous fruits of holiness, or righteousness rather. Fruits of righteousness. And in every season, there are instructions, there are dealings, there are assignments. Even though our focus is on assignments today, because that's the burden, we must give ourselves to the seasonal engagement. He engages us by giving us instructions, by giving us promises, by giving us assignments, by giving us dealings. But we engage by devotion. We engage by obedience. We engage by focus. We engage by faithfulness. The Goliath in the next phase will not be as both the little bear and the young lion in the preparatory phase. It will just be as one. I feel the need to encourage someone. This may not be church related. This may not be, it may not necessarily be a Sunday thing. But you are doing something right now. There is something you are engaging in. There is something in your heart that God has placed. And there is some level of discouragement. In fact, it's almost like you are writing or doing something like that. A gift-related thing. You know that whenever you put your hand to the paper, there is an inspiration that comes. And you are becoming weary because it's not, maybe you're not getting attention or something like that. But the Lord says so. The Bible says, do not be weary in doing good, for in due time you shall reap if you faint not. So we said some time ago that we ought to sow in the night season. Those are parts of investment and preparations. Those are parts of investments and preparation. The impact. Let's just write some things very quickly. Benefiting from the process takes devotion. Benefiting from the process takes devotion, focus, patience. The process is educative. The process is educative. I like to use two people in scriptures who, I wouldn't say one didn't give themselves to process, but I would rather say this other one benefited by separating himself more to process. We see Peter and we see Paul. The Lord clearly instructed while he was on earth that, come, Peter, go into the world alongside all the disciples and preach, make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in my name, that's what it means to make disciples. He says, go and do the work of ministry. But when the Lord died and resurrected, he came and he met Peter. And what was on Peter's mind was, I go out fishing. He tells you what happens when purpose and conviction of purpose is not clear. He was not necessarily devoted to him. So the Lord had to realign him. He had to realign him, and he told him, if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So responsibility, seasonal engagement was needful. Was that all that Peter did? No. He continued in that, but there were other things. But an assignment was given in that time. Feed my sheep. We see another guy called Paul. He was fervent. There was something that caused him, that drove him to just do what the Lord wanted him to do. And like we quoted earlier, immediately he confirmed and he revealed that the Lord was stirring him up with regards to purpose. He separated himself. He separated himself and he devoted himself to that gifting. He separated himself. Again, this doesn't have to be ministry related, but it's just a call to engagement, 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 and increased capacity. Engagement, because the need for capacity building will be evident in the time to come. The product of that will be evident, because it's not even a bad thing or maybe a bad reason. With new phases may come, or actually comes, a higher level of grace. Not just responsibility, not just persecutions as people have pointed to, not just that, but glory. And it takes greater capacity, both in character, both in faithfulness, to hold such things. He said, it was Elisha, that said to the widow, he says, go and borrow many vessels. Borrow not a few. Was the problem a lack of oil? No, it was excess oil. There was oil and oil to give in abundance. Yes, capacity. Engagement as an exercise. Exercise yourself. Invest, not just exercise. So, invest in that thing. You already know the Lord is drawing you to books. The Lord is drawing you to what's the word? To certain courses. I'm speaking secularly now, not just with regards to spiritual things. Invest. So, engage them. An increase in capacity. That's my burden, really. That's my burden. Seasonal engagement for increase in capacity. Seasonal engagement. Seasonal engagement. You engage because God is engaging you. You engage Him and you are deliberate. The impact of process. The impact of process. I mentioned this earlier. It is increased capacity, value, and wisdom added to your life. But I'm just mentioning some things I said earlier. Don't know if I gave a scripture for that earlier. Anyhow, we move on. So there is need for an engagement, greater engagement. And as the Lord begins to bring clarity, diverse things, again, it may not be church, it may not be Sunday related, it may be ministry related, and it may not be that. But there is need for engagement to both sow, to both invest, and to engage what is already there. God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has known there is so much, so much, so much. And as it is engaged by reason of use, when process is not properly followed, or when seasonal engagement is ignored, what comes out is not necessarily the best sometimes. He says at the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you the first doctrines of the principles of Christ. Everybody, there is need. There is something that demands a greater capacity. Whether on an individual level, whether as a church, there is need for increased capacity. There is need. It's a burden. It's a time to invest and to build, to enlarge your capacity. Increase capacity. Isaiah 54, verse 2. I'll actually read this in the New English Translation. That's better. I appreciate that version better for this. It says, make your tent larger. Verse 2. Make your tent larger. Stretch your tent curtains further out. Spare no effort. There is work involved in it. Spare no effort. That means you have to put in work. Lengthen your ropes and pound your stakes deep. Lengthen your ropes with and pound your stakes deep. Pound it deep. Of course, we know we are the symbolic dwelling place and tents of the Lord. You are the temple of the living God. It says that we also, it says in you, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our beings. So there are times where there is a call to enlarge capacity, and it comes by exercise. It comes by investment. It comes by devotion. Increased capacity. He says, why? Why are you doing all of this? Verse 3 gives us an idea. He says, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your children will conquer nations and will resettle the desolate cities. You will spread out. There is greater responsibility coming. There is greater provision. There is greater grace. But exercise the tent that is already there. Stretch it. Exercise it. On an individual level and on a corporate level, there is need for capacity building. And it takes devotion. It takes investment. And it takes exercise. I cannot overemphasize that word so much. Or too much, rather. There is need for exercise. You only know the things that are in your hand. There's a guy in scriptures who, I've forgotten his name, he said that the particular guy has become fat with his gifts. Or he has become fat, something like that. And he's kicking. There are many things that are just stale. And either as a result of self-consciousness or fear, really, corona season is not an excuse. No. There is provision to still engage, whether in the secret or in the open. You sow in it. The Lord is telling you, read books. Study the word of God. Take in materials. Engage your brethren. Take up that course that is being spoken about. But what is he doing? It is for a reason of expounding. The season is preparatory. It is preparatory. The end product should be enlargement. It should be enlargement. Yes. The end product should be enlargement. Let's write some things down. We're on track with time. When we talk about increasing capacity, what are we talking about? As it pertains to individuals and as a body. The first is capacity with the word. When the Lord starts to emphasize on increased capacity, that means there will be opportunity, there will be doors open, there will be things that come and present themselves. And these things will demand a higher level. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 32, 20, verse 32, that I commend you unto God and unto the power of his, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. It is able to grow you. It is able to increase your capacity and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. So the word of God, not just exposure to it, but practice, exercise. This is where the character factor comes in, not just prayer. You exercise. It's very easy to say, I am this by confession. But as it relates to certain things, you will need to be strained sometimes. You will need to be strained, and it is permitted. The second thing is prayers, both individually and corporately. Prayers. The Bible says in Jude 20, it's just one chapter there, Jude 20, that we should pray in the Holy Ghost. It says, pray in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself in your most holy faith. It says, but ye beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in love of God, in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So building an increase, greater need for intercession. You have been praying on one level before effectively, but like we said some time back, there are things that will be committed to our hands in the place of prayer. Why? Greater grace, greater responsibility, greater relevance, which is a good thing in God's eyes. Greater relevance. So, increased capacity for intercession, for things pertaining to the kingdom. And of course, give me a second. Yes, greater exercise in giftings. Exercise. It's not always by God's grace. There will be this restriction will be lifted up, and at least we are even hearing signs of that. But it will declare a judgment on this restriction in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We Amen. Declare a judgment on it.
Amen.
And even with that, currently, engage grace, engage it. Engage it. And as the Lord permits and begins to allow us to meet, whether on a smaller level or we get to meet very soon in the congregational setting, perfect. But there is need to engage and to invest. There is need to exercise. Invest in yourself. It's a marathon. Invest. So, we can look at Matthew 25 from, we don't have to go into the story, we can look at, the scripture that says he gave them certain, give me a second, where he said, occupy till I come. I think I put down the wrong scripture. Yes, Luke 19, verse 13. It says, he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said, occupy or do business till I come. Do business. That's the word. Do business. In other words, engage what is already there so that it can multiply. Engage it. And while engaging it, also invest in it. You eat and you exercise. You eat and you exercise. The fourth thing is an increase in knowledge concerning areas of interest. Now, this is subject to your own appreciation. It could be secular. He says in Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 5, he says, wisdom builds a house, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge it is, how do you put it? By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious, with all precious and pleasant riches. With all precious and pleasant riches. By knowledge. So wisdom is needed. Understanding is needed. And knowledge. Seek wisdoms in this area so that the house can be built. Not just the symbolic house that is regarding the church, but as it pertains to life in general. And lastly, the exercise in love. The exercise in love. Increased capacity. I heard some, I don't know why I'm remembering that now. But I heard one, I don't know if it's an Urobo parable or Urobo saying or something like, it's just funny. The person said, now for Thursday, did they know if the weekend could make sense? I'll explain what that means now. That your current operations can basically give an idea of what the future would look like, the prospects. And if we're going to work in stronger brotherhood, in love, in forbearance, the exercise is in the now, not when there is increase. The exercise is in the now. Only God knows the timeline for what we're talking about. But reality is that there is a transition bodily, I mean, corporately and locally and individually. And you can tie this even as an individual. You are growing in life. You are advancing. There is need for increased capacity. Maybe you have issues forgiving people. Someone offends you. Rightly offends you. And before you can let go, it takes, only God knows how long. There are many things. Nobody, reality is that amongst all the weaknesses in scriptures, no man can say I was born perfect. No, it is only God in you that is good. And as a result of that, that flows and affects you. So, increasing the exercise of love. Let's turn to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, Colossians, Colossians 3. Colossians 3, Colossians 3, Colossians 3 from verse 12. Colossians 3, just give me a second. I hope I don't seem rushed. Well, anyways, we are, wow, okay. 1 hour, okay. Colossians 3 from verse 13 to 15. And I would like us to read this together, if you can. If we can just unmute and read together. 1, 2, go. From verse 12, actually. From verse 12, sorry about that. From verse 12. Let's read 1, 2, go. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man had a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. A lot can be said, but I'm going to round up in the next 5 minutes. But when we speak of capacity as a body, now speaking with regards to the body, there is need for this. And this is not something you claim. It's already shared abroad in your heart, but the outflow is intentional. The Bible says, endeavor to keep the unity. It did not say the Holy Ghost will help you. Even though the Holy Ghost does, but you can say in your mind that I will not be a channel for any expression of the enemy in the body as it pertains to disunity. And nobody is free from that. Someone says, God forbid, it will not be me. No, as long as you have the flesh, you can express something. So it takes intention. And if you falter, You can always take a step back and prioritize the body. Uncle says something which is very true, that God can do without you, but he cannot do without the body. That is very true. And it's a principle we must, as long as you did not shed one blood on Calvary, don't cause problem for anybody. You are not, no man is bigger than the body. No man's ego is bigger than the body. So what are we talking about? Increased capacity. The things that needs to cause offense before. When someone does something, the same thing, you have, there's just lighter approach to it. It's lighter. You have greater capacity. Why? Exercise. It's an exercise. Of course, you ask God for help in the place of prayers. You take in the word of God, make it the basis for the way you think, so that you don't say, this sister, she was passing the three of us. And when she greeted the other two people, she greeted them like this. But when she reached my turn, she did like this. She has something in her mindset. You understand? So there is a place for the word. There is a place for prayer, but there's also a place for intention. Intention. That's what we have to have in our hearts so that we can increase in capacity. And I will tell you why I'm saying this, and we'll go into prayers very quickly. Let's go to Revelations 12 from verse 1 to 4. It says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in the heaven, and behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as soon as it was born. Now we see a picture of a woman in scriptures, prophetically speaking. Now I believe nobody can say this is a physical woman. These are prophetic languages, and it symbolizes the church. Jerusalem, which is from above, is above all. Right? So, when she's in a time of transition from a woman with child into a woman, a mother, she's bringing forth, there's someone who comes or who draws, who gets attracted to that process. It says that that the dragon stood before the woman. He was not in the picture before, but once she was ready to bring forth, once there was a case of transition from a woman with child or pregnant with child to a mother, the dragon came into the picture. And if you go to verse 13, you will see that later, later water was spilled and things like, but we don't even have to go there. But we see that the intention was to devour, which is in verse 4. It was to devour the product of that transition. And this devouring is not always in plain black and white. No. Sometimes it's just the enemy, either it's external, which is weak, as it has been stated in many meditations. A brother says something that I like, that the enemy will not introduce persecution if there is strife. And I hold on to that. It says if there is strife within the body, that's persecution is not, it says you are not worthy of persecution. Persecution is secondary. And the devouring of the enemy is not necessarily external. It's not always black and white. Sometimes it's just things being thrown. In fact, if you even look at verse 13, waters, if you look at waters in scripture, in prophetic language, especially flowing waters, most times speak of words and spirits. So we don't have time to go into all of that, but I'm trying to give us a mind as we approach the place of prayer. My burden today is its capacity. Exercise leading to capacity. Exercise. Increased capacity. So you exercise yourself, you invest, and there is increased capacity. Why? Because it is preparatory. The prayer I want us to take, one of the prayers, I believe other prayers would come up. Chidera would take over from me. I want us to pray, of course, for ourselves, but to pray for the body. We're going to pray against any form of counsel as it pertains to termination of this symbolic pregnancy that is tied to transition. That is from a woman with child to a mother. It may be on an individual level. If you see someone, if someone is captured in a vision or in a word of knowledge that they are with child, it usually speaks of a new purpose. It speaks of a new season. You understand? And when we are making that or relating that to the church, there is attention from the camp of the enemy. And I want us to pray a prayer of agreement today and say, the counsel of the Lord concerning my life and concerning this body as it pertains to this movement, as it pertains to transition, the counsel of the Lord will stand. And the second prayer point is tied to the seasonal engagement, which is that give me grace to engage in all that you are putting in my heart. Give me grace to engage. Let's begin to talk to the Lord. Let's begin to talk to the Lord and ask the Lord for help. This is a short meditation today. And let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask him for help concerning the body. Let's ask him for strength. Increased capacity. The first prayer point is just you uplifting yourself and the body as it relates to transition. Anything that brings about a devouring, it may be an imagination of the enemy, it may be a plot, but you commit the house against the operations of the dragon. You commit yourself. Let's unmute. Let's be at liberty to unmute and begin to talk to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Libro soproco perege vegedesh. Barashto. Libro soproco perege vegedesh. Libro soproco perege vegedesh. Libra kapash. Libro soproco perege vegedesh. Je perish. Oh, Jesus, increased capacity, grace to engage you as a body and as individuals. Grace, grace, grace. Liprosha parash leberegevegedesh. Liprosoprokoperekoba. Jeberesh ebarakush. Liprosaparakevegedeshtush. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we come against every plot of termination. Every plot of on an individual level and on a corporate level, we come against every plot. Oh, Jesus. Libro sheberege vegeberekova. Libro soprokosh. Jeberesh. 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 Ibarashtosh. Libro soprokoperege vegeberekova. Jabarakova. Leperege vegeberekushte. Libro soprokoperege vegeberekova. Jabarash. Liprosoprokoperegevegedesh. Liprosoba. Eberesh, Eberesh, Eberesh. Liprosoprokoperegevegeberekoba. Jabarash. Jabarash. Leperegevegeberekoba. Liprosoprokoperegevegeberekoba. Jabarash. Oh.